The Jerry Doyle Show.
We're talking about the Republican Party, in particular the National Republican Congressional Committee, schooling their incumbents on messaging against women opponents. How do you talk to a woman? However she wants is my answer. We're talking about it with our guest, Anita Finley. She's an author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, very successful. Spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Welcome back, Anita.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
So I'm the out-of-the-closet Republican in California running as the Republican nominee for the House in what was then the California 24th Congressional District. So I'm going up against the incumbent, Brad Sherman. Do you know Brad Sherman, by the way?
I do.
Yeah, he's a cool. I like him, you know. But knowing that we're going to debate, I know that he's going to go to the social issues, because without the social issues, the Republicans got nothing. If it ain't God, gays, guns, and abortion, what do the Republicans have to offer? Because they've existed on that and to the detriment of the party. And so the issue of abortion, I know it's going to come up. Here it comes. And the question is, so you're a Republican and the Republican Party seems to be blah, blah, blah. What's your position on abortion? My answer, Anita, I'm glad my mother didn't have one.
Yeah, exactly.
Then he goes, what? I go, did I stutter? I said, I'm glad my mother didn't have one. I said, as a matter of fact, I'm glad that I was given the choice to make the choice about choice. And then it's a whole different conversation.
Right.
But the Republican Party has been so hard-lined that you're never going to be able to have that conversation when you are so monolithic in your way of thinking that women, by and large, as a group, are turned off by the Republican Party because they seem to be so closed-minded.
I think that's it. Look, I think that's a great way of putting it. And clearly, as I've said to you before, I have respect for both sides of the issue. I understand what an issue of conscience it is for all people, but I think that that's what the right needs to understand about someone on the left who does make the choice to have an abortion. This is not like, oh, we take it lightly and this is just, you know, blowing puffballs into the air. This is a very serious and meaningful issue for everybody. So we can't make assumptions, but I think that that's the basis of all the conversations that you and I ever have, is to say, look, I'm not making assumptions about you and you're not about me, and look at all the common ground that we managed to find, even though we're not on the same side of the political aisle. And that, I think, is the problem that Republicans have now, is that, as you say, they've painted themselves into this corner and have stuff on their platform that seems unyielding. And
right. That,
by and large, is just not going to be a winner when you're talking about a national election, and increasingly not in state elections. It's just not going to help you. I mean, they're working themselves forward on the economic issue, but after the shutdown, you know, they're not currying favor in that regard either.
Yeah, and with regard to, you know, seeming to be unyielding, you know, in the conversation that I was having with Brad Sherman, Congressman Sherman, I said, look, I'm a pro-life kind of a guy. I'm adopted.
Right.
You know, and then that lends itself to a whole different conversation. I mean, yeah, I was in an orphanage for the first 6 months of my life, and I could have ended up in a much different scenario in today's, in many cases, laissez-faire type of an attitude that unfortunately too many people do have towards having an abortion. But thankfully, probably some unmarried Catholic girl went away to study for a while and came back as thin as she left, but left something along the way. And I ended up in the Angel of Guardian Orphanage in Brooklyn, New York, and I got adopted by Al and Elle. And, you know, I fortunately for me, I was given the opportunity to have the good life that I've had. And when you have that kind of a conversation about something that is a very, very polarizing issue, and it's a very, very difficult issue, you have a much different conversation.
Yes, but that's exactly the point, Jerry. You and I are not even allowed because, you know, they don't even want to allow you to have that conversation and sit down. And Hillary Clinton, for example, you know, who I obviously have written about and know a great deal about, you know, she's always in the safe, legal, and rare category, but she has spoken very compassionately and in great detail about this, and is something that she has been concerned with for a very long time. But it's like, those are the kinds of conversations you have to have. And when you have people on both sides of the issue that are either 100% this way or that way, that is really not only part and parcel of the Republican Party, but that's what's going on both sides all over the place. And we're so divided.
I know you're a Hillary Clinton fan, and that's what Dirty Words on Clean Skin covers a lot of turf with. But did you see this article about Middle America assails Washington machine as indifferent and above us? It says America has met the enemy, and it is Washington. And it's scathing indictments of current and potential future political leaders, except for your girl, Hillary Clinton. Voters in this survey describe former Secretary of State and potential 2016 candidate Hillary Clinton as strong, vivacious, powerful, a great head of state, and smart. The other person they gave high marks to, who they would like to see as their neighbor, was Michelle Obama, and those were the only two that this group that was surveyed that has just an absolute just bitter taste in their mouth about anything political, Democrat or Republican. Those were the only two that stood out as people that they thought had what it takes to be effective politically and someone that they would like to call their neighbor.
Isn't that fascinating? Well, you know, as far as I can understand why Michelle Obama would be on the list because of the issues that she has embraced and what she works on, and she is certainly far more popular than her husband. But as far as Hillary Clinton is concerned, you know, I think, as I have mentioned to you, she did an article for an interview for Condé Nast where she said, I've been around so long, people are finally starting to get me. And I think what they understand from her tenure as Secretary of State, whether they agree with the policy or not, is that this is somebody who has a work ethic second to none. And also, I remember this is a very little-known article, but since I, you know, pore over the news, I found that there was a gentleman from New Jersey, and he was a legislator and a Republican. And when she was a senator in New York, they were working on some sort of environmental something. And they were on different sides of the aisle, obviously, but he had nothing but praise for her because he said, you know what? She came to the table. She dealt with me respectfully. She was very knowledgeable, and we sat down, and we were able to get something done. And
right.
I truly think that there are enough people out there who at least smell that about her, and
right.
they appreciate that part. Whether there's other things in terms of policy that they disagree with, that's another story. So I think that's the reason, you know, and it's very interesting. I didn't hear that, so that's interesting for me to know, too.
Yeah, the article's up there at epictimes.com, where you contribute, by the way. Thank you very much for doing that. Not to leave it all on the Republican side of the aisle, but there are Democrats out there that have a problem with women, too. One is the former MSNBC talking head pundit, Martin Bashir. He made some very scathing comments about Sarah Palin, and they say that he resigned. I think, Anita, that there were two letters on the desk in front of him. One was his resignation. One was his termination. And I think Phil Griffith, the guy who's the head of MSNBC, said, pick either one of those. Go ahead and make your choice. But he walked after saying some pretty nasty things about Sarah Palin.
Well, what he said was just disgusting, and that was one of the articles that I'd written for Epic Times, just calling for him to be fired, and certainly even Dee Dee Myers, who was a former Clinton spokesperson, she got up and asked for the same thing. And so, you know, this disabuses people of the notion, I hope, that just because people were bashing a conservative woman that a liberal is not going to speak in her defense. I have defended Sarah Palin in the past. There's even a chapter in my book defending her, simply because whether I agree with her politics or not, this doesn't matter for this man. And may I say what he said?
Yeah, go ahead.
On the air, you know, that this man was coming up, and he had this loaded on the teleprompter. This wasn't a chance remark. And he did not like, because she was likening our economic servitude, if you will, all of our debt, to a type of slavery in a general sense. And she said that that's what it was. He called her a world-class idiot and suggested that someone should, as they had done to slaves in the past, urinate and defecate in her mouth. And so when I heard this, you know, this is, we have heard all kinds of horrid rhetoric, but this was just, you know, this is an abomination, and he needed to be let go. And, you know, it's interesting, your perspective is that they said either resign or be fired, because they were silent. They did not have any statement whatsoever punishing him, and that's what was so shocking, that MSNBC, you know, they felt comfortable bashing Hillary Clinton. They were horrible to her. And,
yeah.
You know, I wrote a book on the subject. So to Sarah Palin, certainly the sky's the limit. They will say any manner of filth. And I think that Phil Griffin was shocked to find out just how many people were upset. And there's one other thing I want to mention about him. Back in 2008, as you remember, Keith Olbermann on MSNBC was absolutely horrible to Hillary, and Phil Griffin defended him by saying, well, you know, he's like a bad boyfriend. And the fact is that, you know, he's kind of a creep and so forth, but at the end, you're sort of lovable, and you'll take him back because, and I quote, you've got nowhere else to go.
What is that, Richard Gere and an officer and a gentleman when he's on his knees in the rain? And he says, and he's going to get booted, and he goes, I got nowhere else to go. See, and I'm glad you brought that up, Anita. By the way, we're talking with Anita Finley. Her book, where she defends Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton, is Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers. It spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. I'm watching cover. I for the most part, I'd say probably 95%, I have tuned out Fox, MSNBC, CNN, HLN, and all of, you know, just the absolute screaming and yelling matches that take place on cable television. Nelson Mandela, kind of a cool guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Huge economic legacy in Africa's largest economy. I mean, he took the GDP from less than 1% in 1980. He becomes president in 1994. It jumps to 3%. You look at average personal income for white South Africans under Nelson Mandela, what he started, increased 62%. For Africans themselves, increased 93%. Educational opportunities expanded from 50% to 70% from 94 to 2005. Infrastructure services, people that could actually cook using electricity, jumped from 45% to 73%. So this guy has a huge legacy, not just in getting rid of apartheid and tearing down the notion of homelands where you couldn't move to another part of the country to get a job. And he did this in a nonviolent way. He was on our terrorist list. And then now we got Clinton, Bush 43, and Obama all flying down to South Africa to sing this man's praises. So I'm watching TV. Chris Matthews somehow manages to segue from the greatness of Nelson Mandela to the income inequality in America. And Rick Santorum, the Republican social issue suck-up, managed to segue from the death of Nelson Mandela and tie in Obamacare. I mean, this is the kind of crap that's going on. This is the Martin Bashir stuff. This is the Keith Olbermann stuff. This is the bomb throwing that comes from the left and the right that people are tuning out.
But this is exactly the problem. It goes back to what we're saying with the Republican issue problem. People want to talk about something bombastic in order to gain attention rather than talking about an issue. If you look at Nelson Mandela's great economic legacy, what people need to do is figure out, well, gee, how do we copy it? What did he do? What did he do that worked?
Bingo!
Why aren't we talking about that? Why aren't we talking about that rather than putting ourselves in the picture, looking at ourselves, congratulating the person or saying, look, I'm so wonderful because I liked so-and-so, and trying to be a hero by association. Those things don't matter. And, you know, it, just so you know, in terms of Martin Bashir, he's not the only Democrat. We had Democrats in Colorado who were suggesting that women shouldn't have a gun because they could pop around at somebody because, you know, we're such my favorite word, liberty gibbets.
I think it's called Annie Get Your Gun, isn't it? Yeah, that's right.
But here's what he suggested. This guy Rosenthal said that, you know, that's why we have the buddy system. So I'm not allowed to leave my house unless I go out in a pack. And I should learn judo. Wait a second. You've seen me. You've seen how tiny I am. I should learn judo. And the other thing is, if all else fails, I should defend myself with, wait for it, a ballpoint pen.
Nice. A Navy SEAL could do that.
Around in my bag for the ballpoint pen, I'm dead. That's all I'm saying.
A Navy SEAL could kill you with a ballpoint. I was stabbed with a ballpoint pen when I was in college. That wasn't too much fun. Hey, on a different note, did you see the study that came out in the Mayo Clinic proceedings that women are supposed to consume 12 to 1,500 fewer calories per week because you gals are doing less? See that?
I think that's awfully insulting. I think the real answer is that we're half your size. Jerry, I stood next to you.
I'm
5'6" if I'm lucky. If I
right?
ate what you eat, I couldn't get through the door.
They say back in the days of Ozzie and Harriet, there was a lot more housework, a lot more cooking, a lot more cleaning, and a lot more childcare, with a lot less passive entertainment like watching television, which may explain the weight difference between moms 50 years ago and moms today. And they're saying that between the 1965 counterparts and today, 12 to 1,500 fewer calories per week.
You know what? You just say that stuff to get me all riled up. I know you do, because you know I got an answer for it. I mean, everybody, you know, that I ever run into says, Anita, how do you stay so slim as I run around all day? I mean, I feel like I never get to sit down. So, no, I'm not dealing with child rearing, and I'm not standing there watching dishes or churning my own butter. Thank you.
Come on. Why not?
Why not? Can you imagine? I'm such a lazy thing. I'm not churning my own butter. But, you know, I've got 50 other things. I'm running down the stair, up and down the stairs all day, and I'm running around town all day long. It's just, believe me, I burn up the calories. I don't know where people come up with this, but I believe that these kinds of scientific studies are not unlike the politicians that we have today. People need to open the door and open the window and look out and see a real person. And see
right.
what people are doing and get out of their own little bubbles, because they are so sequestered that they come up with these ideas that have absolutely nothing to do with
Amen
the real
to that.
World.
What are you doing this weekend? You got anything fun teed up?
What am I doing this weekend? Yes, we're getting our Christmas tree.
There you go.
And wait, I got to tell you, my husband bets, and he finds out every single time.
I love it. Anita Finley, love you. Thanks for joining us on the program. Have a great tree decorating weekend. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers, and all of her contributions, which we much appreciate, at the digital home of the Jerry Doyle Show, epictimes.com. Do it again?
Anytime, Jerry. Thank you so much, and have a lovely weekend, and a lovely weekend to your listeners.
You too, and to them too. Thank you. Stick with us, right back.
Jerry Doyle Show.